You're just going as a youth, and when you're in charge as a youth.
Amen.
Better you than me, ladies and gentlemen. No, actually, it's cool because they just need to keep it. I say they, we all need to keep whatever we get whenever we get it, right? So here's what's interesting. You know, we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and man, the more that I study and get into this, and I say study is probably not even the right word, the more I absorb literally what Jesus is saying and doing, you know, it's almost like he tricked us. And what I mean by that is, because he knows human nature, and he knows that we love our giftings, and he knows that we love our opinions, and he knows all these things. So incorporated in what he did for us on the cross, the whole purpose of others' existence now, as we believe what he did for us on the cross, is to do for others what he did for the cross for us. You get it? Hopefully, today we're going to talk about kindness. So this whole week I have been totally unkind, because again, you got to eat what you speak. Here's the scripture where we're at, and again, I put in big caps the one we're at. So the Holy Spirit produces, only he produces this kind of fruit. Man, we can't do it. We just can't do it ourselves. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace. I haven't done love yet. We're just kind of saving that one. Joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's hard to say because I'm supposed to do that, but I'm just going to do it with an American. Krestotes is how you say that. Supposed to say, you know, and I just hack up, and you know, you don't need all that all over this place. Here's what this word means. It's again, our English language has normally like one definition. This is in the original language. It literally means kindness, but it also means integrity and compassion and giving. It's kind of all rolled up. It's kind of all rolled up into all the other fruits of the Spirit. Everything incorporated, by the way, in all of the fruits of the Spirit are all incorporated with love, are all incorporated with patience, with joy. All of these things are what we are to become. And for years and years and ever, and ladies and gentlemen, we have had this understanding of being a Christian and what we're supposed to do. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to release you from that. He's wanting us to be bigger than that. So it's again, I told you kind of what kindness means. Kindness does not come naturally, and neither does love, and neither does peace. None of those are natural to us, not to the human nature. We think in our thinking we think we know what love is, and we know what joy is, and we know, but it's not natural. But just so you know, neither is unkindness natural. See, they both imply intention and action toward another. And the reason that kindness is just like all the other fruits is it's an attribute of God. Kindness is fruit because he practices kindness to us. And I wrote this little thing. I wanted to let you even see what I wrote. Do you see it? The fruits of the Spirit are to allow us to do for others what God in Christ Jesus have already done for us. That is the whole purpose. They just got back from a camp telling them to go and spread the gospel. And I'm telling you, most of that gospel spreading is through the life that we treat other people with than it is anything that we say with the words of our mouth. It real kindness. I'm telling you, well, let me just stay right here. And getting back to the kindness thing, again, do you see it? The fruits of the Spirit are allowed for us to do for others what Christ Jesus has already done for us. Here's the scripture just for the kindness one. Jesus raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we're united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples. So Christ can point to us as examples of his goodness, of his greatness, of his kindness. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of incredible wealth of his grace and kindness, there's your word, Christotes, toward us as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ. Next scripture. So once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. If that's not who we are now, then we don't have Christ working in us. Is that fair? Because I think it is. You get it. So he says, because that's who we used to be, but my question is, are we still? Verse 4, love. But when God our Savior revealed his Christotes, his kindness, and his love, he saved us. Now watch this, not because of the righteous things we'd done, but because of him and his mercy. Until we understand that you will never give mercy to someone else, until you receive the mercy of Jesus that he gave you, you won't do it. You will always have in your mind that they've got to do something different to deserve getting mercy. Mercy's not deserved. Grace is not deserved. Agape love is not deserved. This is everything that we are created to become to mankind so that they can honestly come to know who Jesus is, which is everything that he accomplished for us on the cross. So it's not because of my righteousness, it's his mercy. And he washed away my sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit on us through Christ, and because of his grace, he made us right in his sight. We didn't deserve it at all, but he made us right in his sight, and he gave us confidence that we're going to inherit eternal life. Therein lies the rub to really allowing the fruits of the Spirit to grow in us, ladies and gentlemen. Until you firmly believe the depth of what he did for you, you will never be able to give that to other people. You can't fake it. That's why I love children, little children. Because little children don't fake nothing. There's no prejudice with little children. There's no racism with little children. They don't see black and white, green or purple. They just are little children. That's why the Word tells us that we're to come to him like a child. I'm going to stay together right here on this. Here we go. So then the question comes to me, what is kindness? I mean, honestly, what is kindness? This Holy Spirit kindness. Kindness is not, this is how we, our human nature views kindness. The little old lady that needs to cross the street. We go and we walk her across the street. Therefore, we were kind to her. That's not kindness. That's a good deed. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a good deed, but that's not this Holy Spirit kindness. See, this Holy Spirit kindness gives the other person a sense of value, a sense of worth, telling them that they're more important at the moment than any inconvenience that they could be. That's what kindness is. Kindness gets in the way. Let me just stop there. Kindness gets in the way. Kindness gets in the way. It changes our schedule, and it changes our finances. Our kindness does. I'm going to give you an illustration. And it happened about 3 weeks ago. I have a quasi-pattern in my life. Those of you who've read my book understand that I honestly believe that interruptions are appointments from God. But that doesn't mean I like them. you get what I'm saying. So I had one of these happen because I have a pattern in my life concerning getting ready, and it was a Friday night, and Friday nights and Saturdays are really, I'm really intense about what I'm doing here today on Sundays, and I get at 11 o'clock at night, I get a phone call from the fire department. There was nothing that was toned out, so I knew they weren't on a call. And he says, "Hey man, I'm at Kroger, and there's this guy here, And his girlfriend just got kicked out of her house, and she has stuff, and they need to put her stuff somewhere, and we can't let him put it at the fire department because our battalion chief wouldn't be happy with me if we did that. Can you help?" And I said, "Well, where's the stuff?" And he goes, "Well, it's at her house where she's getting kicked out of." And I said, "Look, I'm gonna say, well, I can say it. Haas is his." And I said, "Haas, I'll just drive over there." So I get in my pickup and I drive over there, and sure enough, there's this guy there, and it's a legit story. It's not, you know, we get tons of stories all the time, but this is legit. The guy's there on a bicycle. He'd ridden there on a bicycle, and his girlfriend just got kicked out. And so, long story, because I have a pickup, I should have kept my Renegade. I agree to go to this house So I said, man, just put your bicycle in the back of my truck. No, I'll just leave it here at Kroger because I need to get her some ice cream, whatever. True story. So I'm, how much stuff is it? Okay, I'll let you put it in, you know, our church. I'll let you put it there. Let me help you load it. So we're there, and FYI, this is a drug house that she just got kicked out of because I know the system here, and so we're loading this up, and the whole time I'm good. I'm questioning, but I'm good. And I loaded, and I said, are you sure it's just one pickup load, right? And yeah. And it was, I mean, I looked like Jed Clampett, but it was one pickup load. So we get it here, and I unload it, and I told him, I said, this has got to be out of here by tomorrow. You understand? Yes, sir. You know, I'll get it down here. So fast forward, he doesn't come. He calls, and I said, how are you going to get this? Because I'm not using my pickup, as I want to tell him, but you know, that's, again, the carnal nature. Our carnal nature is, I mean, that's, as ugly as that doesn't seem, that's pretty ugly. Because that's in my brain, because I ain't using my pickup again, your stinky self. You get it. And he said, oh, I'm going to get an Uber truck, and I'll come. So I said, I want it out by, you mean Mr. Tough Guy, I want it out by noon tomorrow. Well, I don't get off work till 6. All right, I'll give you till 8. I'm here anyway. So sure enough, 6 o'clock, he calls me. Okay. So I said, where are you at? And he's over by where we put the stuff back over here. So I walk down there, unlock the door, and I'm like, where's the truck? He's on his bicycle. Where's the truck? Well, you know, I said, you told me you was going to get an Uber truck. Well, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you till tomorrow to get your Uber truck self. And I said, the thing that really aggravates me, and I was honest with him, I said, you lied to me, man. Well, you know, I said, no, it's not well, you know. Anyway, so he didn't end up coming, and this is how God is. He didn't end up coming till Monday. And he didn't even bother to go to me because the men's group was here. So he went to the men's group, and they all helped him load it up and stuff. Yeah, good thing they didn't buzz me. I'd be like, let him alone. Spirit kind. Holy Spirit kindness, that's what that is. And that's not to brag. That's just to say it interrupts your day. It interrupts your finances. And it ain't nothing worse than somebody lying to you, right? Holy smoke, man. We tell our kids that for their punishment. We tell them we will never punish you if you tell the truth. And boy, we had to eat that sometimes because there were times I wanted to punish. You know, Leah tore off the stupid. She decided to swing into our back in those days we had a van that slid open the slide door. She decided to swing in. She ripped the whole piece of chrome right off. There it is sitting in the car. All three of the kids are in the car, and I get in and I'm like, "Who did that?" Leah. Oh, I did, Dad. How did you do that? And they normally lie. No, not lie. Well, you know, I just swung in there, Dad. Yeah. I hate it. She told the truth. But, you know, you reiterate, you know, I've told you all the time, there won't be any punishment, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if you ever, that's what I did, you know, that's what I do. You know, I didn't get to punish her, and I was really sad because I just like to beat children. I just wanted to give you some fire for your furnace to go tell people how terrible I am. So I just, again, the point in that is I had every right in most Christians living ending. I had every right to refuse to even help the guy because he's living in sin with this girl. I had every right. I had every right not to help him at all because she was in a stupid drug house that I knew. I'd been there before. On an overdose, you know what I'm saying? And she got kicked out of there. Now, if you're getting kicked out of a drug, you got some serious problems. But anyway, I didn't even sort that all out. I just, for whatever reason, decided to help. This scripture I just reread, and this is kind of what happened. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Well, that covers it all. Instead, be Christos. What a great word. That's the noun of the verb of the other long one that I can't pronounce very well. You can see how it's shortened. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ forgave you. Until you understand that God through Christ forgave you, you will never forgive people like that. Until you firmly believe He really took care of it all on the cross, you'll never get there, because you'll always think that you got to do something to earn His forgiveness. And so that makes other, when you, that makes you have to, that other people then have to do something to earn your forgiveness. It doesn't work that way. When you believe, honestly believe what He did on the cross, then you can honestly give that out. I mean, you really can. So here's what I love about this word. The word there is, it's Christos. The word for Jesus is Christos. Now, here's what happened. This is a true story. In the first century, because Christians were so kind to people, they didn't know if they were saying that they were followers of Christ or followers of kindness. Nowadays, we could do it. They didn't know if they were Christians or Christians, because the pronunciation was so close. Do you get it? How cool would it be that honest-to-goodness believers that don't just want to do church on a Sunday morning but want this Jesus in their heart and in their life, and they really do want to reach others for Christ, how cool would it be that we could reach others for Christ by being kind? Because you can. And they will be curious about you. And they will wonder about you. And they will ask you things. Not because of the great depth of understanding that you have for the Word of God, but because of who you are as a person. In Him, not in you. You can't do it. Steve Van Zandt would have told Haas, I wouldn't even have gone out there, Haas, I'm not going to fool that. I'm busy today. I got things I'm doing. I'm getting ready to do church. Which kind of leads me to this familiar story that we're going to revisit. Let's just read it. We all know it. So Jesus replied with a story. He replied to this guy that was talking about, that says, who's my neighbor? Because Jesus said, you know, because what happened, this guy came up and he tried to trap Jesus. He asked Jesus, hey, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus, smart Jesus, says, well, you tell me. That way he don't get caught, right? Well, you tell me. And the guy goes, well, the Bible says that you love your neighbor, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, yes, sir, you got it exactly right. You do that, and you will inherit the kingdom of God. And then the dude's like, well, who's my neighbor? Isn't that interesting? Who's my neighbor? Well, you know what? I don't like him, but he doesn't live that close to me, so he's not my neighbor. You know, he lives 5 miles away. So that said, so Jesus replied with this story. We all know it. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits, and they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him up, and they left him half dead on the road. Well, by chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. They walked over and looked at him, saw him lying there, but he also went on the other side. It's funny, at least the temple assistant went over and looked and then went back on the other side of the street. The priest didn't even bother to go look. The priest just knew he was there and just kept walking. Temple assistant's like, yeah, he looks pretty bad. And then we guess. Then a despised, the reason they say despised Samaritans, Samaritans were despised by the Jewish community. They hated them, totally, absolutely hated them. So that's why Jesus used this as an example. And then this despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. And going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. And then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins and he said, hey, take care of this man. He's going to cost you money. You're going to be kind. Take care of this man. If this bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Is that it? No. Now, Jesus said, which of these three would you say was the neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? And the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. In other translations, it's works really good because it says that the man says, well, I suppose. Well, I suppose it was the Samaritan, but this one says it different. The one who showed eleos, mercy. And then Jesus said, yes, Exactly the picture as bad as go and do the same. You ask me who your neighbor is. I just showed you the worst case scenario. I painted the picture as bad as I could. So in nowadays, Jesus would say, think of the person you hate the most, that you really can't stand the most, and that's the one you go help and give them some money. And then that's who your neighbor is. See, you can't do that in your natural ability. That's why the Holy Spirit it resides in you if you really want this Christian thing to be working in through us. I've really come to realize that there's just a whole lot of folks in the world that want to wear the badge, the Christian badge, but they don't want to be a part of the walk of this thing called Christianity. I really see that, and obviously y'all are here and you put up with us and our teaching, so you get it. So it's, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about them other people, you know, them other people. Here's what I gleaned out of this for the 58,000th time that I've seen this story. First of all, this guy's called the Good Samaritan. It's not true. He was good. In our human nature understanding, that was a good deed he did. No, but really, we need to change this from he was the Good Samaritan, he was the kind Samaritan. In fact, this will give you an opening if you want to somehow talk about Jesus to somebody else. Just, you know, if they say, well, you're the Good Samaritan, say, no, he wasn't the Good Samaritan, he was the kind Samaritan. And then they'll say, well, that's not what the Bible says. Well, no, that's not what they put in the top headline. You know what I'm saying? Where it says the Good Samaritan, and they do the story. And the reason I say that, I'm not just making that up, that word Elios, where the guy goes, well, I suppose the one that gave mercy, that word literally means kindness toward the miserable and the afflicted. Me being kind to David is not kind in Holy Spirit kind. That's in our flesh kind. Because he's not miserable and he's not afflicted. You better not be miserable or afflicted. And I'm not going to even let your wife. She's over here elbowing him. Do you hear me, David? No, but do you see what I'm saying? It's the same thing with the whole grace and mercy. You don't give grace when you loan somebody some money and they're going to pay. That's not grace. Grace isn't even if you give money and don't expect it back. Grace is if somebody smacks you in the face and you give them money and then don't expect it back. There's grace because they don't deserve it. So this Elios kindness is toward the miserable and the afflicted. So it's got nothing to do with those people that I know that need my kindness. Now, but pay attention here, though. Well, first, let me just mention, both of those men that walked past him walked past their brother. He was a fellow Jew. That's a huge deal in that culture. He was a fellow Jew, and it was a Samaritan that was not a Jew, that was hated by the very man he was helping. That's the one who helped. Jesus was making a humongous point, but both of those men were Jews and their brothers lying in a ditch, and neither one of them could be bothered with it because they had a schedule to keep. Again, it throws your schedule off this thing, this kindness thing. But here's, watch this though. There's a different, the kindness isn't just helping. I'm talking about Holy Spirit kindness. It isn't just helping strangers, but it is helping those we know. But it's those we know that are afflicted and those that we know that are miserable. And the miserability, if there's such a word, I just made up, it's okay. And being afflicted can be just as much mental as it can be physical. So here's what's so funny. Not funny, haha. Practicing forgiveness and forbearance is practicing kindness. Now, the word forbearance is the word anecho. We'll see it in Scripture at the very end. But it literally means to endure with patience. Remember, we talked about patience last week. See how all these fruits of the Spirit are all melded into this, like we talked about last week, that ambrosia salad, where the Holy Spirit is the whipped cream and all the fruits are in it. And as people eat it, they get a taste of all of the different fruits, and it's all wonderfully mixed with this whipped cream that makes us fat in Jesus. How's that? So forbearance means to endure with patience. It simply means to tolerate. So here it is. Not only do I have to forgive, but I have to tolerate people. I have to tolerate people that I don't want to tolerate. You get it? And of course, you don't have anybody in your life that you don't want to tolerate. I get that. So this people we know kindness, that's what we'll call this. We'll do the social media. The PWK, put that on your social media. People we know. PWK kindness doesn't mess with the schedule or the finances. No, the people we know kindness doesn't mess with that. It messes with our frame of mind and our rights. You get it? That's where that kindness gets messed with. So here's what I did. I just had this thought. So here's a homework assignment for you. If you have a camera, take a picture. Homework assignment. Listen to your spouse. Listen to your kids. Listen to the guy at work who always has an opinion about everything. Don't listen to answer back. Holy smoke. That is the biggest problem with relationships. I had a guy in my office one time, and he never, ever, ever listened. He was always formulating his response to whatever I was going to say, to the point that I was recording it, and I said during this conversation, "Your dad died this morning." He never heard it. Because I'm telling you, I was making a point, David. He was all busy getting his response to no matter what I was saying, obviously. And so after the whole thing was over, I told him, "No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't." So I'm like, that's back in those days where it was those little square recorders. "And your dad died this morning. And your dad died this morning. And your..." Terrible on my part. I know he said, "Oh, that's illegal." Whatever. I illegally exposed it. You're not listening. Listen, let's go back here because this is important. So listen to your spouse. Listen to your kids. Listen to the guy at work who always has an opinion about everything. Don't listen to answer back. Don't listen to prove that you can listen. Just listen. When your spouse says something that offends you, let it go. When your kid acts a fool, don't blow up. Put your arm around them. When your coworker spouts off with their infinite wisdom, don't set them straight or roll your eyes. Just let your smile acknowledge that they're important. Social media? Read and listen. No need to respond. Just listen. Irma Bombeck, some of you might be familiar with her. She was a writer / personality. Irma Bombeck told about a time when she was so tired of listening. She had listened to her son tell in detail about a movie he had just seen, punctuated by at least 1,000 you knows and okays. And then she had received several phone calls filled with mindless chatter. As a taxi cab driver took her to the airport, he told her all about his son who got a scholarship to college and made straight A's. And she said, "But once I got to the airport and realized that I was 30 minutes early, I breathed a sigh of relief and thought, I have 30 whole minutes when I don't have to listen to anybody. I can just sit here and read my book and not be bothered at all." But no sooner had I opened my book when an elderly female's voice said to me, "I bet it's cold in Chicago." "I suppose," Irma replied without looking up from her book. "Well, I haven't been in Chicago for 3 years. My son lives there." "Well, that's nice," Irma said. Then the woman continued on, "My husband's body is on this plane. We were married for 53 years. I don't drive, you see, and the funeral director was so nice, he drove me to the airport today." And then Irma said later, her voice droned on. Here was a woman who didn't want money or advice or counsel. All she wanted was someone to listen. And in the desperation, she had turned to a total stranger with